Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing on in the 37th Psalm. And in the previous episode, we left off in verse 19. So let me back up and read 18 and 19 again. They're one sentence, and they say this: "The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance." There's a lot to be looked at in these things, particularly when we look at various English translations, little nuances that are brought out. But the bottom line is this: the Lord knows. Yahweh knows. He knows the days of those who are blameless, the days of those who are righteous. Okay? He knows. He knows what's going on. And he knows what their heritage is. And their heritage will remain forever. They're not going to be put to shame in evil times. Okay? And he says that even in the days of famine, they have abundance. Then verse 20. That's the reason I wanted to read 18 and 19, because 20 starts off with the word "but." But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. And so if you remember at the beginning of this, he's talking about the wicked and how they will pass away even as the grass of the fields, the flower of the fields, and that kind of thing. Picks up that idea again. The wicked will perish, and that the enemies of the Lord are just like that grass that looks great, looks wonderful, those beautiful flowers, but they last just for a moment. Verse 21 continues on the thought, some more insight into the wicked. The wicked borrows, but does not pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. Verse 22, "For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off." So he's again comparing the wicked with the blessed. And he says the blessed borrowed and he doesn't pay back. Well, we've all probably experienced some degree of that, one way or the other. But the righteous is generous and gives. And I tell you, there's some real-time application that can be made to these things, folks. I've mentioned several times before, likely. But I know years ago we had an individual that really, really needed some transportation. And so the leadership in the body felt like, okay, we need to provide this for her. And so we provided, some very basic foundational, you know, stuff. And they said, you know, "Oh, well, I'll pay you back. No, we don't want to be paid back. We're giving this to you. It's not, you know, something that you're borrowing. It's not something you have to pay back on. But know this, that if you're in the future able to repay it back in some form or fashion, that will help us to do it again with somebody else, right?" I tell you what, they did. They did wind up getting a good job, et cetera, et cetera, and wound up paying it back in a multitudes of ways, not just for that one particular thing that was given, but more. The giving of the kingdom of God is not the same as the giving of the wicked, of the giving of the world. No, the wicked borrows and doesn't pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. Somebody needs to borrow something. We see another place of scripture. No, don't let them borrow. Just give it to them. But what if they ask for this? Give them more. Give it to them. You say, "Well, I don't want to do that." Well, that's fine. You're not required to. You don't have to, but it reveals the heart, does it not? And God says that those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land. If you're cursed by the Lord because of your evil ways, you're going to be cut off from the land. Then verse 23, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hands." And you know, as we mentioned earlier, several of these verses, and this psalm particularly, sound a great deal like the Proverbs. And when I read the first part here, "The steps of the Lord, the steps of a man are established by the Lord," most of us probably going, "Oh yeah, I've heard that. That our steps are established by the Lord." But do we know the last part of that little phrase? "When he delights in his way." Okay? When he takes pleasure in his way. Now, there's a question that begs to be asked here. Who's the he and who is his? New American Standard says, and he delights in his way with a capital H. The idea being that God is delighting in the way of the man. And because the Lord is delighting in the way of the man, that his steps are established. The other three English translations I'm looking at don't have that capitalization. When he delights in his way, it has the idea that the man himself is delighting in the way of the Lord, but the last his is not capitalized, as you think like that. So what's going on here? Well, do what the overall counsel of the scripture, delight in the way of the Lord. We've seen that in a recent psalm. You know, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart, right? So the steps of a man are established by the Lord when we delight ourselves in the Lord, and the Lord will be delighted with us. Then verse 24, just same sentence. Though he fall, okay, he's not talking about God falling, he's talking about the man. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong. He shall not be, for the Lord upholds his hand. This is actually a very encouraging thing, okay? Because it says, though he fall, the idea being there will be times when we fall. There will be times when we fail. And though we do that, we're not going to be cast headlong. King James says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. In other words, you're not going to be falling to the point of death. You're not going to be falling to the point where you will hurled headlong, as New American says. Why? Because the Lord upholds. Then verse 25, Psalm 37, very well-known verse. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. So what's being said here? Well, the psalmist David is saying, hey, I'm older now. I've been young, I've been old. And I know this truth, that God does not forsake the righteous. Even though it looks difficult, even though it looks hard, even though we're not sure about what's happening, he will not forsake the righteous. Or his children begging for bread. Does that mean that the righteous will never go hungry? No, it doesn't mean that. It does mean that the Lord will provide for the righteous, particularly for their descendants. King James says, nor his seed begging bread. Okay? New American Standard says, or his descendants. Why is that? Verse 26, he is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. So what's the bottom line with all this? Well, we've still got several more verses in this psalm, but we'll stop right here. Listen, verse 27 says this, turn away from evil and do good, so shall you dwell forever. So depart from evil, turn aside from evil. We've seen this earlier. Not only turn aside from evil, but do good. Actively turn away from evil. Actively depart from evil and actively do good. And by doing this, so shall you dwell forever, abide forever in the Lord. You know, these psalms give us such insight into how to live, how to handle situations, or what to do, okay? I mean, just simply what to do. How do I respond? It's in the psalms, guys. Well, my time's up. Again, I'm Dale. I'll see y'all in the next episode. Goodbye.